VentureCast. Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
If you haven't heard about Anchor and its easiest way to make a podcast, let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You make money right from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Make sure you download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm.
Welcome, everybody. It's your boy, Young Liddy, and the No Judgment Podcast. I got my first female guest to the show. This girl is an entrepreneur. She is a world traveler. She does it all. I mean, she's just amazing. I mean, she stays fit. She makes it look good. Whatever she does, give it up for my girl, Lil E.
Oh, thank you. Hi, everyone. Thank you for that amazing introduction. I appreciate it.
Yes, yes. No, it's a pleasure to have you on my show. I mean, wow.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. You know, this is my second podcast that I've been, invited to share my story. And so I'm very happy that I'm here to share it again with you.
Thank you. Thank you. Looking at your Instagram, you are quite a traveler, right? You travel, if not every week. or you're just posting your catalog and then you post, once a week. But you look like I'm pretty jealous, honestly.
I do travel, I've gone to Puerto Rico already twice this year, Vegas three times this year already, and it's since the beginning of March. But I do travel quite a bit. I actually made it my mission this year to go to as many places as I possibly can. Due to the fact that I am self-employed, I do have my own business. And so that allows me to be flexible with my schedule. I can move things around. I can move appointments around to make it possible. So
that's good. I mean, yeah, the traveling part for me, I mean, I love visiting places, but God, I hate flying.
that's the fun part for me. I love flying. I joke around with my clients because some of them tell me, how could you do it? I can't fly. I get anxiety. And I tell them that the turbulence rocks me to sleep.
Whoa. Thanks. There's something wrong with you, girl. There is something wrong with you.
And it does. And it's true. It does. I love when it's a little bit of turbulence because it does. It puts me to sleep.
Bro, let me tell you. I was leaving Houston, Texas during a giant storm with my son. We were coming back to California. And I mean, I never flew through a storm like that before. And I was like already clenching the little handles on the seat and the armrest. And then, like, we hit some major turbulence. Like, the whole plane went side to side, like,
yeah,
oh,
everybody's heads are just bobbing everywhere.
It wasn't just one little shake, it was constant shaking. And then my son could tell I was scared out of my mind. And he's like, little devil, he's all laughing while it's shaking. He's like, are you okay, Dad?
For some people, I get it. It's the phobia, that gets to them. And to some of us, like myself, we trust planes a lot. We trust that they're going to land us safe. Maybe it's a trust issue.
I don't trust nobody. Like, I don't trust nobody. Nothing.
I'm a little too trusting maybe sometimes.
Yeah, you gotta be careful. You travel, you can't be too trusting.
Yeah. True. True.
On another note, you tell us a little bit more about your business. What is it that you do?
You know what I do is I have my business is called Lashes by Erica. It's located downtown Modesto. I've been open there for the past 3 years now, going on 4. And what I do is I like to provide opportunities for young aspiring estheticians to become self-employed. So I rent out suites in my shop to new estheticians who want to, you know, rent out a suite for me, so they can open up their own little business and make their own schedule and work for themselves. Just recently, you know, I was working for myself for a few years, and right now I went ahead and jumped from being self-employed to business owner, because now I have employees. I have employees now, and they work for me. And these employees, I motivate them, and I hope to inspire them to, you know, also open up their own, be comfortable enough to be self-employed as well, or potentially open up their own space, or their own salon or spa or whatever the case may be. Right now, I am coaching and mentoring a young esthetician who is a lash artist, and she is using my platform to gain her clientele, gain experience, and gain her clientele so she can move forward with her career. Nice. So that's basically, yeah, that's what I do. I love what I do. It keeps me going. It keeps me motivated. There's times where, you know, it gets complicated and it gets overwhelming. It's confusing, and it sometimes, you know, it can get a little discouraging as well when there's clients who like no show, or there's miscommunication, things like that, things of that nature. It can get discouraging, you know, like anything else. It can get discouraging, no matter how much you love it, how much you're good at it. You know, it can get, but it, you know, like anything, it's tough. But because you love it so much, you keep going, and because you have this vision, or I have this particular vision, I keep going. That keeps me going. It keeps me, you know, moving forward. And I realize that that because I haven't given up all this time, it has given me a large reward, and I see the rewards coming in, and I keep going.
Nice.
Keep
going, so. What were some of like moments like you just felt like, damn, I don't think I could do this? Tell me about some of those moments.
I want to say a lot of those. When you said that right now, my mind flashed back to the beginning. To the very beginning, where I was struggling to get clients, you know, to retain clients. All of that, I think, has a lot to do with the lack of experience that I had. And it gets tough when you have no experience, you know, and just like the no shows, you know, like clientele, because not only do I do lashes, I do body waxing and facials as well.
Yeah.
Those are the three things that I specialize in. And, you know, sometimes I would prepare myself for a facial, and then you have to set everything up. You have to warm up your towels. You have to set up the bed. You have to get all the products out ready for your client, customize all the particular products to customize that facial. And then for your client not to show up, it's upsetting. It's discouraging. It's, you know, disappointing. And you're just like, oh my gosh, I did all of this for nothing. And now I have to take everything out, and then, you know, put everything away, and then prepare myself for another client, which is now a lash client. So now everything has to be reset up for a different type of service. So it just gets, you know, it gets annoying, you know,
overwhelming,
a better word.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the challenges. The investing part, the money part in the beginning, when you don't have any, because I started with nothing. I started with no money. Okay, it was zero money. So yeah, little by little, I had to save up little by little, so that I can get my certain equipment or a certain amount of products or a certain amount of supplies. And that, you know, that part was a big challenge, is the money part at first. Because you want to, you got to pay your bills, but then you got to save money, you know, to set aside so you can invest to make more money. Right?
Yeah. It takes money to make money,
but it's like, okay, when you don't have money, that's where like, okay, where do I start? What do I do? So that was a big challenge, and it just took time, and it just took, you know, the money management skills that I had to learn for myself. And also, you know, taking advice from others was also an important thing to realize, is learning how to take advice from other people while you're wanting to come up. I would suggest that's, you know, you got to have an open mind.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, you want to do your things, you want to do things your way, but not necessarily sometimes how it can work out. Sometimes you got to, you know, take other people's advice, and then you realize that, hey, they were right.
Yeah. Yeah. If, you know, being an entrepreneur myself, there was times where I had to suck it up and be like, dang, I really don't want to do this, but I need this bread. You know, I need this bag right now. And it got, you know, it was a good feeling where I was at in my career, where I was like, I remember this lady was giving me like, just, you know, had me under the light, questioning me, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, lady, you called me out here to help you. Like, what the heck?
Right.
Like, I was like, let me see that contract. And she hands it to me, and I go, thanks. And I turn away and I start walking away. And then she's all, where are you going? I go, listen, I don't need Noah's bullshit. I am my own boss. This is my company. I was like, I'm not here to get harassed. I came here to help you. If you want to question my help, then obviously I don't need to be here. You are not the client for me. I'm gone. Her husband called me and apologized. He's like, she can be like that. But it was a good feeling to be able to, you know, to be able to walk away from a bag, you know what I'm saying? And like, you know.
And still be positive and confident.
Yeah,
you know,
confident
positive
knowing I got other clients lined up.
Exactly, and confident enough. Exactly. Yeah, it is a good feeling. It's a feeling of success. That's a successful, you know, I call that a success. It's a successful, you're successful, you know?
Yeah. That confident, confidence obviously comes from being, asking girls out. Like, I got nephews there, I got a son, and I teach them. I go, look, don't be scared about asking a girl out or for her number. I was like, it's a numbers game, honestly. Like, what do you mean? I go, look, I go, start off gradual. Start off by asking a girl for a number that you wouldn't really feel too torn up about if she said no, right? Don't let it get to you, right? The more you ask, hey, you might get lucky. She might shoot the number, you know what I'm saying? So it's a numbers game for me. And when you realize who you are as an individual or as a professional, it really just boosts your self-esteem and your confidence in your game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
What did you do before you did your business?
Before? Let me just start off by saying I moved from Washington State to California about 9 years ago. When I was living in Washington, I did the same thing. I was doing lashes and waxing because I went to beauty school right after, you know, a high school pretty much. I went to a four-year university for a couple of years, but then realized that wasn't it. So I went to beauty school. Then after that, I graduated and did lashes and waxing and all of that. Was self-employed, was working with a friend at her shop. And then realized that wasn't working. Being self-employed just did not work out for me, and decided to move to California. I dropped everything that I had over there and decided to just wing it. I said, you know what? I belong in California anyways. I got to start over. If I want to start over, let me just start off fresh at a new place where nobody knows me, where I don't know anybody, and just start over. So when I moved here, I was working at Hometown Buffet, making some chump change here and there, working 3 days out of the week, 4 hours a day. My checks were like $150 a week. That's what I was doing for a little bit. Then I was working at a little bar, getting paid under the table, you know, $8 an hour. And then tips, of course, was helping me. And then I was working at a little salon, doing some appointments there, here and there. I did some bail bonds for a little bit, was a bail bonds agent for a little bit. Did some life insurance as well, was selling life insurance for a little while. Man, I was trying to just do it. I was just trying to make ends meet, you know? But I knew like that me. What... Oh, man, you know, I was just like, man, and I didn't know anybody when I moved here. I came here by myself. I came on a
how
bus.
I mean, not to get in personal, but you had you at least have family to stay with out here, right?
I did have my sister, yes. I did have my little sister who I stayed with for the first 2 months when I first moved here. But then I got kicked out. Because it wasn't her house. It wasn't her house that she allowed me to live in. So when they found out that I was living there without permission, they were like, I'm sorry, you can't stay here.
Yeesh.
So my sister crying was like, I'm so sorry, sister. I wish you could stay, but you can't stay. And she had to, I was at Hometown Buffet working when she texted me this. So when I got home, my stuff was already on the driveway. I couldn't even, she didn't even give me a day or two. So what I did is I grabbed my stuff. And luckily, I had already gotten a little 1994 Lexus coupe. So I put my stuff, like just my clothes, in my car, and got on my phone and went on Craigslist and started looking for a room to rent with strangers.
That's crazy.
And, yeah, and I found this guy who was renting a room, and I said, okay, hi, my name is such and such.
I bet he was real.
Thank
happy.
You.
Except you is a. Is a tenant.
Yeah. he was asking for my ID, made a copy. He was professional. He was not, he was respectful and was, you know, he was a nice guy.
He wasn't a creep. And he wasn't a Tinder swindler.
He wasn't a creep. I didn't get those vibes from him, you know, those creep vibes or nothing. He had this big old house that he had for himself and his daughter. No. And it was an empty house too. Yeah, there was no furniture or anything, so that was kind of sketch. And I'm like, why am I really gonna live in this empty house? But I really had no choice. It was either in that empty house or in my car.
Yeah. No, you know what? I did the same thing. I had I moved away from the Bay during 2008 recession. I was doing home loans and real estate. Okay. It just fell apart. I'll never forget the day. I was living with my aunt and uncle, and I was going through a separation with my son's mom. And I pulled up to the house one day, and my parents were there, and they had all my stuff packed. And I'm like, what are you doing? And they're all, you need to come live with us. You don't have nowhere to live. I go, you can't just make that decision for me. I'm a grown-ass man. Yeah. Yeah, I was 24. You know, 24. Like, you can't. They're like, you can't live here no more. And I'm like, fuck. They're like, you're not going to live in your car. Just come home. And then recoup or rethink, you know, we need your help at the house anyways. And when I moved back, I still didn't have anywhere to stay. It was like 2 years later, but I was going through like a year and a half later, and I was having to fight for custody for my son, and I didn't have nowhere to stay. I was like, I had like lost contacts with certain friends and people changed numbers. And I was just like, man, my mom's like, what are you going to do? I'll go, well, if I miss court, they're going to take my kid away. I go, and I'm not gonna sit back in my parents' house living comfortable while someone takes my kid away. And I'm like, this is not gonna happen. Yeah. I was like, just drop me off. And she's like, what? I go, listen, one day my son's gonna know what his dad did for him. And it's not gonna be the story where he sat back and just let him slip away. So she dropped me off, and I remember I was riding the bus. It was a 24-hour bus. I was sitting on there like, damn. I had no money. My mom gave me like her last $4. I used that to get on the bus. And I was just riding that bus because I knew I could stay on there as long as I stood awake. And right as soon as I got on there, like this, you know, my brother who I just barely reconnected through on Facebook, like we lost contact with each other like at 4 years old. He calls me and he's like, yo, what are you doing? I was like, riding the bus. He's like, where to? And I'm like, I don't know. And he's like, oh, really? He's like, where are you staying tonight? And I'm like, and he has no idea what's going on. Like, I don't want to, I just barely met him. I don't want to put him in this drama, you know? Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, you got somewhere to stay tonight? And I'm like, he's like, do me a favor, hop off the bus on the next stop. And I go, I can't do that. And he's like, just trust me. And I get off the bus and I call him and he's like, all right, give me the address of where you're at. He's like, I'm gonna send you a cab. And he's like, got your hotel. You got your laptop? I go, yeah. He goes, find a room to rent. I'm going to help you out with the first month. But after that, you're on your own. And I was like, oh, yeah. And like, he even ordered me a pizza and some soda. I was like, damn. Uh-huh. I was like, dude, like, you know, like, I relate to that story. Because I'm like, I literally came here with nothing but a suitcase and my laptop. Yeah. You know? And then to turn around.
You can do it. You know, it's not, it's actually, when I think back, when I just came, I was excited. I wasn't, when you share that and people will say, oh, like, they make you feel sorry for yourself or like, oh, I'm sorry you went through that. It was actually a good time. I was happy.
Yeah.
I was happy and I was just being me. And I was just like, I'm going to start over. I have nothing. I have no car, no job, no money, but whatever. Okay. I'm just going to wing it, you know? And I was happy doing it. And then when I think back now and I'm like, God damn, I can't believe I did that.
You know, it's like, I had a car, but I couldn't drive my car. I got my second DUI, like back to back. I was just going through it. Wow. I was drinking all the time. And then, my parents didn't even know about the first one. And then I came in after I got my second one. And I had just got out of jail. And they're sitting in the kitchen. Well, where were you all night? And I just throw the keys on the table. I go, here, take my card. Just get the stall. What's going on?
Go, I'm done.
I got to tell you something.
Oh, my God.
I never got in so much trouble in my life until I moved to Bakersfield. I got like 11 traffic violations in a year and a half living in Bakersfield. Mm-hmm. It's crazy out there. Damn. But yeah, no, that's dope. And then, not only did I just, like, I don't want to say make it. You know, we all have ups and downs, but I was able to get a high-paying career now, and I'm starting my own business. And I end up moving my sister and her kids up, and then I move my parents up. Now we're all up here, you know. So you never know. I always tell people, don't be scared about the beginning. The beginning always, it's like a book. You got to make it to the end to find out how this story is going to end.
See how strong you really are.
Exactly. How about your mom? Was she parents? Were they really supportive of you coming out here?
You know, when I told my mom the day before I decided to move over here. I said, "Mom, I'm leaving to California tomorrow."
Why?
She's like, "Why? What are you gonna do over there?" I was like, "Live there." She's like, "We don't have no money. You know, you have a job over there." I was like, "No." How much money you got saved? I was like, nothing. And she's like, you really gonna move over there? And then she's like, well, if you go, don't be calling me for money. Don't be calling me, telling me that you need help. Go ahead, go. You're a grown woman. If you want to go, you can go. But don't be calling me for no money. So because she told me that, and I have so much pride. I have a lot of pride. So I was struggling, right? I was struggling. I have so much pride. I didn't call my mom once for money. Never did I call her for money. I'd rather live in my car, eat out of my car, I showered at the gym, all that stuff. I then call my mom for money to help me for anything. I didn't. So my mom never knew until later. I actually just told her the story not that long ago. I told her the story. I told her everything that I went through, and she just was like looking at me like. She actually didn't say anything. She just stared at me like, you went through that. Like, I can see what she was thinking in her head, kind of. You know your parents. You know what they're thinking. So. She was just kind of like, wow. I almost felt like she felt embarrassed, or not embarrassed, but like guilty for making me feel that way, for me feeling that I couldn't reach out to her for help.
I remember asking my mom for help one time, and she made me feel like shit, but I was in shit. My life was in shit. Like at that point, I was 19 and I was just partying. Like I was just couch surfing. I hadn't been home in months. I didn't have a plan. I didn't have a hustle. I didn't have two pennies to rub together. And I remember I woke up at my friend PK's house, and he would sleep like the whole day. Like, and his house was so hot, and I was just dehydrated. I had no food in my stomach. There was no food in the house. Mm. And I called her. I'm like, hey. And she's like, what's going on? I'm like, I called her at work. Can you pick me up? I need to get something to eat. I haven't ate. And she's like, I just got back from lunch. And I was like, all right, never mind. And then she's all, now, where are you? And I gave her the address. And she picked me up. I think she picked me up just to chew me out. And so what she told me that day really changed my life, because my mom never talked to me like that before. I mean, she yelled at me, but she never said what she said that time. She had told me, she goes, look at you. Out of all my kids, I never thought I had to worry about you. You don't got a job. You don't go to school. Shit, you don't even sell drugs. You're a freaking bum. Oh,
at least sell some drugs. What are you doing?
Like, goddamn, like, sell some incense, some burnt DVDs or some.
Hey, no, but you had true, though. You
it was. It hit home so hard. I was like, nah. Dude, I sit at her house for like inside for like 6 days. I didn't leave her house. I just sat there, rethought my life, and I got my shit together. I signed up for school, and I got out of town. I was like, I gotta get away from everybody. Everybody's just partying and doing the same shit. I signed up for Job Corps, and I lived in San Bernardino for a while. It really,
she talked some sense into you, huh?
Yeah, no, she scared. She's
she
like,
made you. She right. made you realize. Like, made you think. Who am I?
Yeah. Right? Yeah, because I've always had a hustle.
What am I made out of?
Exactly. My mom's always been there to kind of talk some sense into me when I fell off the path. But my hustle really comes from her. And then she's always supported me in my dreams and whatever I do. I don't always tell her everything because I know she stresses the shit, stresses out like a motherfucker. But,
yeah.
But she'd be fine. Yeah. It's crazy because, like, I don't tell her everything because, she stresses. It was, I think it was like the second time or the first time I got shot at, right? I was at a house party. They weren't shooting at me. They were shooting in my general direction.
Okay.
And the fight broke out in the backyard. And then all you hear is, oh, he has a gun. And everybody starts running through one gate, through the side gate. And I'm trying to squeeze through everybody. And then all you hear is, pop, pop. And then I hear one guy, I'm shot, right? Well, little did I know, I ended up becoming friends with that guy at that party.
Oh, my gosh.
He never told me that he saw me there. And he happened to end up taking a summer job working with my mom. And I was like, at my mom's company. And I was like, my mom comes in and she goes, so, when were you going to tell me you got shot at? I go, what? I didn't get shot.
How'd you know that?
She goes, she's all, really? Because your little friend, he was there at the party. He told me he got shot at. You know, his thumb got shot off. I go, and I automatically knew who it was. Because he had told me he got his thumb shot off, but he never told me he was at that party. And it was before we even knew each other. And I was like, he never told me. She goes, yeah. And when were you going to tell me? I go, I don't know.
Did he ever get his thumb back put
on? Oh, yeah. No, they it was hanging on by like some skin.
Oh,
and they
good.
Drove him to the hospital. They put it back on. He has a scar.
Okay, good. I was going to say, does he have no thumb now?
You can't say he's all hands, but. She finds out. My mom used to find out crazy shit.
You can't hide everything. Parents find everything out sooner or later.
Not me. I'm always left in the dark. I'm always like the last one to know. And I'm like, who are you guys gonna tell me about this?
Wow.
So starting off, I know you had mentioned to me before that you wanted to be something else in life.
I was studying, I was going to a four-year university. I was studying to be a psychologist.
Psychology scared me, especially when it's a girl. If I was dating you, I'd be like, this girl is analyzing the fuck out of me right now. Trying to mind fuck me. I know it.
No. It's fun.
That's cool. No, I grew up in the house too. Where my uncle, he had his master's in psychology, and I was a troubled kid, so I would always have to stay in during the summer. And he'd make me read books from his library, and I took to all the psychology books about human behavior patterns and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Where were you at in school before you decided you wanted to do what you're doing?
I was about to enter my third year in college. And it was summer break, and I needed to declare a major. And I needed to declare, you know, psychology, and I hesitated. And my grades weren't so good. And so I thought, no, I don't want to do this. What do I do? My mama has always told me that I should go to beauty school. And I was like, no, mom, like, I don't want to go to beauty school. Like, beauty school is for losers, I would tell her. And, you know, she's like, why not? You're so good at makeup and hair. And, you know, maybe you can find something in beauty school that you really like, something in the beauty industry. And I was just like, I just didn't, you know, I wanted to go to a four-year university and graduate with honors and, like, say that I went to a cool university, you know, and stay in, you know, be a part of a sorority and all that good stuff. And then, but then I realized that, you know, that wasn't it for me.
Yeah.
So I decided to take my mom's advice. And I said, fuck it. And searched a good beauty school in Seattle, Washington. And it was really one of the best beauty schools there. And I decided to go. And my first day there, I realized that I loved it.
Most parents, it's the other way around. They want you to become a doctor. And they're like, no, don't go to beauty school.
right. Yeah. No, for me, it was the other way around.
Shout out to Mama. Mamas always know what's best. Look at you.
Yeah. She always knew. And she was right. The first day, I loved it. And it just became my passion. And over the years, yeah, I started doing it with makeup in beauty school. I was actually, you know, really good with makeup. The owner of the school asked me to be part of a movie, a low-budget movie in Seattle, and she wanted me to do makeup for that movie.
Nice.
And I did a couple commercials. I did makeup for commercials in Yakima, Washington. That was kind of cool. So I did makeup. I did makeup for weddings, quinceañeras. I was doing makeup for a while. Nice. And then one of my friends, actually one of my really good friends, she does hair, and she make eyelashes was becoming a thing back in 2009, 2010, 12, around that time. That's when I was doing makeup. So in 2012, it was becoming more popular or more talked about. And she said, hey, Erica, you know, I heard this service, eyelash extensions, this should make good money. You should take a class. I think you'd be really good at it. And so I took her advice and I said, okay, sure, I'll take the class. I took the class. I spent maybe $450 for the training. I hated it. I was like, what in the world is this? What did I get myself into? You want me to put one eyelash fiber on one natural eyelash? And
That sounds like rocket science right there, girl.
Yeah. No, I was like, I don't have time for this, my friend. Thank you, but no thank you. So I'm like, I'm just going to waste these $450. Just let them go to waste because I know that this is not for me. And yeah, and then I quit for like a year, right? A year went by. 2013 comes around. And then it's a little bit more popular. And I'm hearing on social media, on Facebook, that eyelash extension is a new thing. It's making money. It's, you know, it's suggested to estheticians or cosmetologists or people in the industry to get on it because this is a good money maker and blah, blah, blah. And at the time I was struggling, you know, I was struggling. And it was when I was thinking about moving to California. And I said, you know what? I'm going to give it another try. So my friend volunteered for me to be her, like my little model to practice on. Practice on her. The first time I glued her eyes shut. I was not successful at it. I completely glued her eyes shut. I was horrible. And I was like, oh my God, friend, I'm so sorry. And I'm not going through, as her eyes are closed and glued shut, I'm not going through the manual trying to figure out how to unglue her eyes. It was horrible. I was sweating. And I was like, oh my God, am I going to be able to like open her eyes?
Did you Gorilla Glue her eyes shut?
No, but I figured it out. I successfully unglued her eyes. And then she wanted me to practice again on her. And I kept practicing and I kept practicing. I was amazed at how much patience she had for me. She believed in me. But because she believed in me so much, I believed in myself. I'm like, oh my gosh, she sees something that I don't see, but I'm going to go ahead and trust her. She sees something and I'm going to keep practicing. And once I got the hang of it, and I was so happy. That one time, it took me one time to get it right. And after that, I was nonstop. I wanted to continue to get better and better and better. And here I am 11 years later.
Nice.
I have this business. And now I teach. I offer eyelash extension training. And I do that. I offer trainings once a month, every month. $1,200 per student.
Girl, you make me want to do eyelashes now.
Yes, come on. Jump on board. Jump on this lash game. It's awesome. It is awesome. So, yeah, it is crazy. Like, you know, you think back and you just like, man, that was a struggle. You know, I doubted myself. I quit. And then I came back. And then I was like, you know what? Sometimes it's not about if you believe in yourself. Sometimes believing others that believe in you is the spark. You know, that was the spark for me, was my friend, that she was so adamant about me doing lashes. And I trusted her, and I said, you know what? She sees something in me. I'm gonna keep going. And yeah, and she was
better
right.
Buy that girl Mercedes.
I call her up. I call her up and I'm like, hey friend, like, because of you, like, look at where I'm at. Like, you believed in me, my friend. And she's like, I'm so happy. I knew I saw something in you. I knew it. And she was always talking so positive to me, telling me, you know, that I had this fire in me. She's like, I see it in you. You're gonna be successful. And I'm looking at her and I'm like, really? You know, you see that in me? Like that. That's how it happened, though, for real. No joke.
So what a very professional career that you have, very motivated, and you're traveling. I'm pretty sure there's people out there dying to know. Is there a man in your life? You got kids? How do you manage it? You know, tell me a little bit more.
You know, I'm pretty much married to my job, my career right now.
Married
to the game right now. I do go on dates. I go on dates. You know, I don't have this one particular special someone. I do go on dates. A matter of fact, I am going on a date in a little bit.
You're like, I had time to squeeze in the podcast. Like, there you go. You were on your grind.
We'll see how it goes. I don't know. But no, I don't have a boyfriend. I don't have kids yet. I don't know how I feel about the whole kid thing, but I feel that if I were to ever fall in love with someone and I want to share, you know, a little human with them, then I think that's totally something that I'm open to. Then I'm totally open to that. But as of right now, I have no desire to have children. So that's where I'm at right now.
That's good to know. on a positive note, I'll tell you what, I just told this to my niece, nothing could prepare you for being a parent. I did all the baby classes and I read all the baby books. I didn't have money to buy them, so I would just go into Barnes & Noble and read them until the manager would be like, either you buy it or you leave.
Not a library.
Yeah, and tell you what, like, people always compliment me on the kind of father I am. Like, they tell me I'm doing a really good job. I'm like, I think so. I mean, he's a good kid, you know. And you learn as you go. Not to say you get a freestyle parenting, but man, there, it doesn't matter what you read or what you listen to. It's just a natural thing that comes out. And I'm pretty sure, like, you would make a really good mother when it's time to be. So don't be scared.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Is there anything else you want to say to the listeners, maybe to motivate anybody who's probably thinking, man, maybe I should start doing Cosmo or esthetician or starting a business? Anything you want to throw out there?
And you know what? If to those who are starting off and are getting discouraged, especially, I have to talk to my fellow lash beginner, my lash clients, or my lash aspiring lash artists. This is an industry that's really easy to get discouraged because of how particular and how intricate this craft is. You have to be very skilled, very patient with yourself, And just if you feel like giving up, but you feel like you know that you can do this, don't give up. Don't give up. And if you do, that's okay. Just get back on it. Don't be afraid to start over. So that's what I want to say. Don't be afraid to start over. If you give up, that's okay. But if you want to start over, do it. Don't be afraid to start over.
And make sure you want to drop out, name drop your business, your business name, any contacts. People might want to get a hold of you. Go ahead and give a shout out.
Yes, Lashes by Erica, downtown Modesto. It's located right on the corner of G Street and 9th, right across the street from the Grubhub.
G Street, keep it gangster.
Yes. Yeah, hit up. Make sure you want to make an appointment with me, get some bomb lashes. My website is www.aestheticbyerica.com. Hit up that website and book your appointment.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the No Judgment Podcast. I really appreciate you being on here. Maybe we catch up later on down the road and give us some updates on your career and your life. Maybe then you'll be in a solid relationship. Maybe then you might have a franchise. I don't know. You sound very, very motivated.
Thank you. Thank you. Who knows, right? Who knows? But thank you so much again for having me. It was a pleasure. So, yeah, hopefully I'll be back again.
Pretty soon. All right, Erica, you take care. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on the No Judgment Podcast.
Electric Acid. Welcome to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing, where we harmonize your mind, body, and soul. I'm Amanda, your sound therapy expert.
And I'm Stephen, the curious explorer uncovering the mysteries of sound.
Together we explore vibrations, frequencies, and the power of sound therapy and tuning forks.
Discover ancient wisdom, reduce stress, and tune into a healthier life. Subscribe to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing today.
Welcome to Transforming 45, the podcast that celebrates the incredible power of passionate voices. I'm your host, Lisa Boat. Join me in conversation with heart-led humans who share their deeply personal stories of transformation. Transforming 45 is here to uplift, connect, and remind you that it's never too late to write your next chapter. So get ready to be inspired, empowered, and transformed. Join me in this community where through powerful storytelling, we heal and reclaim our inherent magic.
Electric Acid. Electric Acid.